Hello, friends. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine. If my count is correct, this is Bible Sunshine on Joshua, number 26. And we're glad you've joined us today on this Tuesday as we begin another new week of Bible Sunshine. Our study brings us to Joshua chapter 5. As we work our way through the book of Joshua, we're ready for chapter 5. It's only 15 verses, and so I want to take a few minutes and just read this chapter so we can be sure that we have read it all together. So join me in reading Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time." So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people who were born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. So the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Now the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Well, may God bless this chapter of Scripture to our minds and our hearts today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for this chapter of the book of Joshua. Thank you for the book of Joshua. Thank you for the whole Bible that you have given to your children. We thank you for it. And we pray you'll give us understanding today. Give us lessons to learn. Encourage our hearts. And if there's anyone listening who's not yet trusted in Christ for salvation, show them their need that they would come to the cross and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Joshua chapter 5 has some very interesting segments. In fact, I think one of my favorite sections of the whole book is this last section, verses 13 through 15. And we'll get to that, Lord willing, in good time. Well, we start a whole new set of questions for chapter 5. So the first set of questions is under observation. We're looking to discover details here. So from verse 1, we have this question. How far geographically did the news of the Jordan crossing extend? Notice back to verse 1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan. So remember, Israel was on the east side. God did a miraculous event, and they crossed on dry ground across the river, and now they're on the west side. Well, there were people that were inhabitants of the west side, the Amorite kings, the people, the nations who did not know God, who were up to their ears in idolatry and all sorts of paganism. They heard about this miracle. So it says the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea. What sea is talked about? It's the Mediterranean Sea. So it says when they heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted. So how far did this news extend? Well, from the crossing of the Jordan to the Mediterranean would be about 50 miles. The kings of the Amorites were west of Jordan, and the kings of the Canaanites all the way over to the Mediterranean Sea. So from east to west, we have a distance of about 50 miles. So the news, now remember, this is, there's no cell phone, there's no telegraph, there's no telephone. The news spread, though, over this area, this little land area of Israel. The news spread about 50 miles of the great miracle that God had done in parting the Jordan River for the children of Israel. And then also from verse 1, the second question, how did the pagan kings respond to the news of the Jordan crossing? It says their heart melted and there was no longer spirit in them. It knocked the wind out of them, so to speak. They were aghast at what had happened. Their heart melted, no spirit in them. And they were fearful of the children of Israel. They were discouraged at this news. This is amazing what God has done. So they were gripped with fear. They were gasping, we might say, at what God had done for the children of Israel. The pagan kings heard of this miracle and it knocked the wind out of them. God was preparing them for being conquered. Well, in verses 2 through 5, when was the first occasion? This is question number 3. When was the first occasion for the Israelite men to be circumcised? And what was the second? What was the reason for the second? So God gives Joshua some very specific instructions here. It might be helpful if we just think back a little bit. Remember, the sign of the covenant that God gave to Abraham was that he would circumcise his male descendants. And this was a practice that was a sign of the Abrahamic covenant that is continued to this day amongst Jewish people. So he says to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself. The flint rock could be made to be very sharp. And he said, make knives out of this flint and circumcise the sons of Israel the second time. So Joshua made the knives. He circumcised the sons of Israel. Verse 4, this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. So remember, they came out of Israel, but people grumbled, they griped before God, and so they died in the wilderness. But there were people who were born, and they had not been obedient to this covenant ritual. So when was the first occasion? It was in Egypt, when they, as captives, observed the covenant obligations. And now here's the second occasion. Here, before entry into the promised land. So God is preparing them to go into the promised land, but he says you have to be obedient. You have to remember the sign of my covenant with Abraham, and you have to act on this, that you are indeed my spiritual children, my descendants, and that you are obedient to that rite, that ritual that I gave to Abraham. And so Joshua was being instructed by the Lord to observe this. It's very interesting that this was done before going into Egypt. So here, before entry into the promised land, the males who had exited Egypt, they had died in the wilderness, and now the new generation that was born in the wilderness, who did not have circumcision but needed it, Joshua is going to circumcise them so that they would be obedient to the voice of the Lord. So verse 6, the fourth question is this. Why were the Israelite men of war consumed? Verse 6 says, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed. So why were they consumed? Well, look at the word because in verse 6. In the middle part of the verse, see, because, here it tells us why they were consumed in the wilderness. For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. They had been disobedient to the Lord, and so they were consumed. And remember how they griped and complained, and how they doubted that they could go up and conquer the land. And so God judged them because of their unbelief and their disobedience. Well, verses 7 through 9, when did God say the reproach of Egypt was removed from Israel? Verse 7, so Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he, that is whom God, raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal. You may have a note in your margin that says Gilgal means rolling. The reproach was rolled away. So the location was called Gilgal, and it says, as of the writing of the book of Joshua, it's called that to this day. So when was the reproach of Egypt removed? After the men, the generation who were born or who grew up in the wilderness when they were circumcised. The reproach represented the unbelief of many who had come out of Egypt. You see, they had forgotten who they were. They were God's covenant people. They were God's people who had seen the miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea. They had forgotten who they were. They had forgotten to whom they belonged. Let me insert an application here. Is it easy for us as believers in Jesus Christ to forget who we are? Is it easy for us to forget that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? May God help us to not forget who we are. And may God help us to not forget what he has done for us at the cross of Christ. So God rolled away the reproach, the unbelief, the shame when they were obedient here and they reckoned with their spiritual heritage and they were obedient to the Abrahamic covenant sign. In verse 9, we have question 6. What does Gilgal mean? All right, it means rolling because the reproach was rolled away. What else happened here? So go back to chapter 4, verse 19. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. So here we are correlating back to chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. What else happened here? The stones, the memorial stones were set up. The memorial stones showed faith and showed God's faithfulness. They were set up, and so the reproach showing unbelief was rolled away. Very appropriate that the reproach was rolled away, therefore we have Gilgal. And at Gilgal, the stones were set up, and those stones represented faith and God's faithfulness. The priests were obedient by faith to step into the Jordan and to take stones from the middle of the Jordan as Joshua commanded 12 men to do. They set them up. They made this memorial. It represented faith. And here sin and unbelief were rolled away. Very significant, this place called Gilgal. And then one more question. When was the Passover observed in verse 10? So the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month. They set up the stones at the beginning of the Passover feast on the 10th day. On the 14th day of the month, they celebrated the Passover, it says, at twilight on the plains of Jericho. So here they are, eating the Passover meal, commemorating the miracle of God's deliverance for the whole nation from the nation of Egypt. How God delivered them from the bonds of slavery. God brought them out as his people, opened the Red Sea for them to cross through. They're commemorating that when the death angel passed through the camp, when he saw the blood applied to the lintel and the doorpost, he passed over those who by faith applied the blood. So they're remembering that. They're observing the Passover on the 14th day of the month as it was introduced in Egypt. You see how all of this ties together, how all of it connects. Well, let me just add this one application for today, and that is this. We as believers in Jesus Christ must not forget who we are and to whom we belong. The Apostle Paul says that we've been bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify God in our bodies because we've been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. That should be our prayer request today as we continue to pray for the United States of America, that Christians, true born-again, Bible-believing Christians in America would remember who we are and to whom we belong, and that our guidebook is not our feelings. Our guidebook is not popular opinion. Our guidebook is the Word of God. And from our Pray for America list from Revive Our Hearts, here are two specific prayer requests. Pray that godly men and women will be placed in positions of authority so that God's people can rejoice, Proverbs 29:2. And pray that our leaders will be just, fear God rather than men, and depart from evil. Our Father, today I thank you that we can come to you because you are King of Kings. You are sovereign over all. There is no one greater than you, Almighty God. And we come to you, Lord, we ask on behalf of your people, your blood-bought saints in the United States of America. I pray, Lord, that we would remember whose we are, to whom we belong, and that we would remember who we are, that we've been bought with a price, and you want us to live in a way that is godly. You want us to live in a way that's upright, that's distinct from the world and the flesh and the devil. And you want us to live according to your word. Lord, stir the hearts of your people. Awaken us to righteousness, to holiness, to godly discernment and wisdom. Awaken us all throughout this land. And Lord, I pray that your people, awakened by your spirit and your power, will exert salt and light influence, even through our democratic process of voting, that we will exert godly influence. And Lord, I do pray that you will raise up godly men and women in positions of authority as judges, as mayors, as governors, as senators, as congressmen, as justices in every court of the land. Lord, we pray, raise up principled people. Raise up people who know Jesus as Savior. Raise up people who fear God, who respect our laws and our Constitution. And our Father, we pray also that our leaders will fear you, that they will not think they're a rule, a law unto themselves, but they will know that they rule under the mighty hand of Almighty God. And I pray, Lord, that they will cry out to you for help, for mercy. And we pray, Lord, that you will use the trials that we've undergone in the pandemic, economic hardships, and all the other things that have happened. We pray you'll use all of these to cause people in positions of authority to realize how small they are and how they need you, and to cry out to you for your help and mercy. Do a work in our land, dear Father, that it would spill over all around the world with gospel missionaries going forward. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you'll continue to do. We pray in Jesus' strong and mighty name. Amen. Well, God bless you, friend. And I'd like to remind you that today at 12:30 on Zoom, we have a special one-hour prayer meeting. Pray for America. We're glad to pray for any request, but we want to focus on our land. Join us. If you don't have that link, let us know. We'll send it to you. God bless you. Hope to see you tomorrow on Bible Sunshine.